This is the Tabernacle Podcast with John Vermilia and me, Britton Bishop. What's up, John?
What's up is I'm hoping that Benjamin press record. Did you press record, Benjamin?
Yeah.
Sweet. Welcome back. You made it. You survived. You are a married man, Britton Bishop.
I've made it. You made it? She's still in, too.
She's still in?
Yep, 2 weeks in. She's still in.
You didn't scare her off?
Well, she's staying in Grand Rapids tonight, but it's for a different reason.
So no annulment. It's official.
100%.
I saw her yesterday, and she looked like, or was it 2 days ago? Yeah. Whatever. I saw her this week when you guys were back. She looked happy.
Yeah. The biggest moment for us so far was I've lived on my own for like 5 years, right? I cut my toenails where I want to cut my toenails.
Mm-hmm.
I go to sit down. I have a paper towel, my nail clippers.
Toilet paper goes where you want it, over the top, which is not even Christian. Everyone knows it comes out the bottom, but whatever.
So I get sit down, have my foot on the paper towel, but I'm on the couch, and Hope's sitting there working, and she just does one of the, what are you doing? I was going to cut my toenails. Not there, you're not.
What? That so is
now,
perfect.
Apparently you cut your toenails in the bathroom. I've learned. I've responded. And so, yeah, toenails look great, and I did it in the bathroom. That's been our biggest marriage lesson so far.
Yeah. What about the toothpaste? Are you bottom squeezers or middle squeezer?
I'm a bottom squeezer. She's a wherever just to make it come out.
Yeah.
But I actually, it was funny. You said something to me the other day about, well, don't let those things be things. I'm like, well, John just rebuked me without knowing about it. He's like, hey, why don't we just squeeze it from the bottom? We can get more out of it. And she's like, or I can just squeeze it wherever I want.
Bro, the biggest marriage lesson is you now live in her house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And you get to sleep in the bed that's got all the pillows.
Officially. No more guest bedroom.
Yeah. You finally got there.
I made it.
Britton is married. He's back. I'm a little bit nervous, though, because we have guests. And not because of the guests, just because of the pre-podcast convo.
There's an energy going on around here.
There's an energy. We're going to have to filter because, like, I don't want to say these words on the podcast. We might have to bleep them out because some people's sensibilities. But there was a lot of communication about farts.
Mm.
About vomiting and burps. and maybe we'll share that later. We'll see if it comes out. But why don't you introduce our guest, man?
Absolutely. Today we are joined by my fellow student ministries pastor. He's technically the next gen pastor at Buckley Campus, Adam Sharp, and our replacement someday, Sam Brown.
Yeah. Sam, the son of Benjamin Buttons Brown, who's our executive pastor. And let's be honest, like Benjamin, both of you are pretty much on staff. I mean,
only on the weekends.
Yeah, you're here.
That's
an
what
awful
everybody
lot.
Thinks about us.
Yeah. No, this is a compliment. Sam is not just here because, well, yeah, Sam and Adam are here because the guests we thought we were going to have, there was a little administrative snafu, and we were just like, well,
we got rid of her.
No, so we were like, I've been looking for a chance to talk about what we're going to talk about today, and it just so happened that we have a student that's part of Foundry, or Tab Student Ministries, in the building because of summertime, and Adam got drafted, and so this is an opportunity for us to do this, and so, but I did want to say, just going in by way of introduction, most people know that Adam Sharp is killing it with Next Gen here at the Buckley campus, and we love that. But Sam Brown serves, he swerves, and we'll talk about what swerve is in a few minutes, but Sam is one of our rock star students, like Benjamin, that is involved on Wednesdays, but also serves on the weekends, probably as much or more than most adults.
Absolutely.
I would say a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And and Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, you actually are a teacher.
Correct.
Right. With Tab Kids, is that what it is? Can you tell us what you do on a weekend?
Most weekends, I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's both services on Sunday that I'm in Tab Kids, teaching, helping out with other students, just trying to keep students focused on Jesus, and just help leading them and being a mentor for them.
Nice.
How old are you?
14.
Get some. 14. So... typically, you worship on a Saturday night with your family.
Correct.
And then on Sunday, you're working the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is similar, and not to make this a brag fest or make anybody feel guilty,
but Benjamin, if you feel guilty, that might be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, maybe that's it, you know. And you're there all three as well, doing the stuff in the truck, as they say. So, cool.
And I want to note, too, it's not because their dads are on staff.
No.
That's a huge piece.
Please say that loud and proud. Yeah, I've never asked my kid to do that.
Their dads are on staff. I think that that's one of the things I love about the tabernacle that was made clear, I think, to my now wife, to our families, is no one that serves in any ministry is doing it. We hired your dad or your mom. We didn't hire the whole family. And so I think that's a key piece. So I know both these dudes, and I know that the reason they serve is because they love Jesus and they see purpose in the ministries that they've plugged into. And so, yeah, and that's what I think really important for people to hear is it's not because his last name's Brown and his last name's Vermilia. It's because they love Jesus and they want to help other people get to know him. So,
and you know what else they contribute to? You know, that whole team thing. We have a blast doing it. I mean, I've said it before. Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud on a podcast, but it's our podcast, and
we do whatever we want.
We do whatever we want. The tab staff and even paid and unpaid, we pretty much roll like a gang. We're like a posse.
We are.
It's like a gang, and so it's like we're working, but it doesn't feel like it because 100%. Yeah, they just contribute to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about, before we jump in, talking about TAB students, let's talk about the fact that you're still in my chair. So you abandoned us for 2 weeks. We were able to get one podcast done without you. That is the chair. In fact, we were, before the one podcast that we did do while you were gone, I think Heidi Burgess was sitting right here and she asked, why does John sit there? And Benjamin was like, because that's where the host sits. And it was just like, that's just tradition. That's just what we do. And Heidi was like, oh, okay. And we get down here to do this one, and I told you have to earn that chair back. And you just sat in it, and...
Well, I earned it back, but we don't have to say how.
Let's be honest. You earned it back because you could throw me and this table right out the door. So it's a little bit physical intimidation. But that being said, I thought it would be awesome to hear about TAB Student Ministry. It's one of the most, if not, like next gen, in my view, from age 0 all the way to 18, is the most important non-worship service ministry of our church. So in order to have a church, just by way of theology, in order to have a church, you have to have people gathering around God's word. If you can add a guitar to it, great. If you can add taking up an offering or some coffee or, you know, the sacraments or the community of fellowship and everything. But like I remember when we interviewed you, that was one of the things that, or for the position of next gen, which is age 0 right now up to 18 here in Buckley. I said, this is the most important ministry. And I see you guys nodding your heads. Why do you think next gen, and specifically student ministry, because that's what we're going to focus on. Adam, just to be clear, has both TAB kids and TAB students in Buckley. Your focus is TAB students, and you work together at both campuses, Buckley and Manistee. Why, in your view, is TAB students like so important?
I think ultimately what it boils down to is it's not even just that age range. This is just a time in kids' life where they're very formable, and we're seeing that if the church isn't taking discipleship and evangelism seriously within that age group, then somebody else will disciple them in another way. And I mean, statistics show 77% of Christians gave their life to Christ before they turned age 18. 95% is before the age of 30. And so based off those statistics alone, Adam and I both feel the conviction that we have the most important job in the church, because 77% of our church is going to decide whether they're in or not before they leave our ministry. And so from a longevity standpoint, and just to see the movement that Jesus is trying to do in Northern Michigan move forward, it's going to take a student ministry that's devoted to God's word, devoted to the gospel, and devoted to seeing students buy into that. And so, just statistically speaking, that's just, it makes sense to us to give our life call to preaching the gospel to students that want to hear it. And I think, too, this is a broken generation. This is a broken age group. Gen Z is probably I think it's the highest suicide rate of any generation ever, including the World War II generations and all of that. And I think that it's just because the world is telling them so many different things. And I think just to provide a space where there's consistency, there's a love that is genuine, and it's not this version of love that the world's trying to manufacture. Those are some burdens I know that I experience, and I know that in conversation Adam also experiences, but I'll let him kind of say if
there's anything
he wants to
add. What are you thinking about TAB students? Why TAB students? Because you were actually our volunteer student ministry pastor in Buckley before we hired you to take two jobs, which is TAB kids and TAB students. But what do you love so much about it? Why do you think it's so important?
I think back to my years as a teenager and a child and thinking about how formidable formidable.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll just
that
say
word.
Formative.
Formative years. Those are for me, or they were for me. And even as an adult, and I didn't realize it then, but as an adult, as I'm looking back now, seeing how much they shaped me, I think that's where a lot of my passion comes from is I know that these years are really influential for these students. And it is cool working at a church that, like, the leadership believes that, and the congregation, from what I can tell, believes that as well. Yeah,
100%. I would, even to add on to that last statement Adam said, I think it's huge. Something we both talk about all the time, and something that I've shared with Ben and I've shared with you, is that I have friends all over the country that are doing student ministry, and the support that we get as student ministries pastors at this church is unrivaled by anywhere in the country. And I think that that just comes down to the burden that not only our lead pastor feels, but that our leadership team and our congregation and our board feel towards students. And so that makes us feel like we're doing a really cool job, instead of like, all right, well, I'm going to do this for 2-3 years. I'm going to move on to something more important.
Yeah, it's not a stepping stone.
Yeah, because I think that the way our church views student ministry in particular is one that's in high regard, and it's one that's in priority. And I know a ton of friends that across the country that if you were to dial it down, and you could probably ask some people, they're glorified babysitters. This is where the kids go while the adults go do the important stuff.
And that's terrible.
Yeah. And so I love just the way this church views student ministry, not just the ministry in itself, but the people that are leading it. There's a ton of, I've never felt more respected as a leader than I do at this church. And it's not just about my feelings, but it makes you eager to do your job well when you know that people are holding it in high regard. Because there's other times where I have friends in other experiences, like, dude, it doesn't even matter what I do. No one's going to notice anyways. And so I think.
Really? So these are youth pastors?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, and especially because you and I both travel and speak as well. Mm-hmm. So we get in some of those environments, you get those late night conversations, and there's just these guys and girls across the country that are just exhausted, because it's just, one, the job of student ministry is a tiresome job. As much as slip and slide kickball is fun, there's a lot of late night Instagram, hey, this is going on, this is what I'm feeling, so-and-so said they're going to do this, how do we sort then? So, but I think just the support that we receive from our board and from our leadership team here at the church is huge. And so in front of everyone, I want to say thank you to you, thank you to the board, because it makes doing our job way more fun. And right. So, yeah.
Well, so in Matthew chapter 18, I'm always reminded of this moment where, you know, Jesus is talking to very important people. I don't know if they're on the board. I don't know if they're theologians or Pharisees or who they are, but they're talking about greatness. And it's that moment where he takes a child, and he puts a child in front of them, literally says, hey, come here, kid, you know, and he stands them in front of all of these big shots that, you know, give us some real meat. You know, I'm here at retreat. Give us some meat. You know, give us some deep theology. Give us some real Fight Club stuff. Oh, there's the kids, right? Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, puts a little child in their midst and says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you can never enter it. And so I know a lot of people who look down on student ministry would be reminded that Jesus said, no, it's young people, it's youth. This is how we're supposed to receive it. It's not about all this knowledge and all this secret stuff. And then just from a pragmatic standpoint or a practical standpoint, the recent history of our church, the resurgence of our church, you can call it a revival, a resurgence, whatever, you know, people are probably tired of me reminding folks that 30 years ago, this church was down to 20 people. And then it was about 18 years ago that we really got after student ministry. They hired their first student ministry pastor, yours truly, part-time. And this, just right here in Buckley, they were so hungry for it. Immediately, we went from zero to a student ministry that was bigger than the church. Boom. Every great revival in church history starts with young people. It starts with students. Whether they're in high school or college, that's where it begins, because, you know, they're living that Romans 12. They're offering themselves like these two as living sacrifices on their own and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'll serve. I can do that. And they want to be a part of it. They hear the stories. They're getting out of bed early on a Sunday. And, you know, I was just thinking, you were talking about, you know, the gratitude to be a part of a church that values student ministry. Without students, we're dead. We're absolutely dead in the water. We don't have enough people to serve without students, not a cafe, not with ushers, not with tech. I mean, you go to Manistee on a weekend, they got all people that do not have degrees that are running all the technology, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that, you know, we see in Buckley as well. So there's a friend of ours, we've had him on the podcast. I can't remember Uncle Charlie when he was here talking about kids these days.
Yeah.
He and I share at least one of our favorite sayings. You find a church where the student ministry is happening, that's usually a happening church. In fact, another friend, Adrian, put it this way. He said, a church is like a dog, and the tail is the student ministry. And when the tail is wagging, the dog is happy. The dog's happy. So yeah. I get discouraged when I talk to student ministries guys, and they're like, oh, the lead pastor doesn't get it. Here's the other dirty little secret. My saddest moment in ministry was moving from youth ministry to lead pastor. That was sadness.
Yeah.
And you can ask Martin Rizzi, who moved from student ministry to camp. He still thinks he's a student ministries pastor. I was here last night, and you can't get that guy out of Foundry. I mean, are you ever at him like, Martin, would you just leave us alone? We got this. Go be with adults, you know. Go visit people in the nursing home. Yeah, right. Get away from me, right?
Yeah. He liked kickball, too.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. And I think, too, something for the adults even to hear, and I think these two could vouch to it, is on Wednesday nights, we're still cooking, and we say some things from the platform that I think would make some of our adults still squirm with the challenges, and I think that we see that in the response that the students have had to the gospel and to the call to serve and to join and being on mission in their church. And I just love that about our students, is that they sit down and they're eager to approach God's words with reverence and with response. And I love that about them. And that's why I love this age group, is because they give a crap.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, no offense, that show up on a Saturday or Sunday that are checking a box, but their give a crap might be busted. And I think that we're seeing, the kids that show up to student ministry are there with a purpose, and they're there on purpose, and they want to get after it. So that's been cool, too. So the students make it easy.
Well, you said, that we're still cooking. I would take it a step further, and this isn't lead pastor hyperbole. This is not exaggeration, because I've said it before. Our student ministry now is stronger and better than it has ever been. It is 10 times better than when I was a part-time youth pastor. And I'm not talking about just the depth that I know that your leadership, both of you, has taken it. I see students coming in when I'm dropping off my own students. They're carrying Bibles on a Wednesday night. They're in small groups, but they're also, they come back, you know, like last night, my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, you know, if I'm late, I usually get a text. Well, I knew I wasn't late, but a text popped up, right? And all it said is, bring towels. And I was like, that is happening. That is happening where, hey, Dad, if you don't want the car ruined, you need to bring towels. No more information is needed. Just bring towels. And I'm like, where's the towels, man? What, you know, what happened? So it is more than cooking. It is flying. So we know primarily, there's some students that probably listen to the podcast, but primarily this is for parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe, like, what happens with TAB student ministry? Like, give us the overview of what goes on, not on a Wednesday, just the overview of all the things that we have going on for students at the Tabernacle.
Yeah, I think first and primarily something that we try to communicate often, that TAB students' mission and vision is to love God, love people, make disciples, and we want to see changed lives just as much as well. And so something that that for parents to know is that the Tabernacle is the church, and TAB students is a ministry within that church, and that we think that that is crucial for people to understand, that our Wednesday nights and our camps that are going on and different stuff like that are just avenues to meet students where they're at and provide gospel content in a place that's relevant for them. In a language that's relevant for them. And I think that our Sundays do a really good job of that as well. But that's kind of the goal behind Wednesday nights. It's more of a pared down. We play games, which usually sometimes we don't. I don't know. Adam and I have kind of changed that. I don't know if the kids like it or not. But there are times where it's like, hey, I'm not playing any games this week because we're going to get after it with the Bible. And small groups are going to last 45 minutes. And so our Wednesday nights, a typical Wednesday night if you showed up is – you're going to check in. There's going to be free dinner provided by volunteers at both campuses, which is really cool. We have meals teams at both campuses, so him and I don't have to think about food. We just show up on Wednesdays, and at 6 o'clock.
So like busy kids in the school year, they show up at 6 o'clock and there's food.
Yep, 100%. There's dinner. It's not just like, oh, hey, there's a you can go look at that ice cream sandwich and four of you can share it, but there's dinner prepared by members of our church. And then while they eat dinner, usually at both campuses, we throw it old school. We got GameCube set up. That's not because we can't afford Xbox Ones. It's because we don't want to. Because all these kids have them at home, and I know I can beat them at GameCube. So I have GameCube.
Nice.
So we're rolling Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers. We usually, in the warmer months, and for these Michigan kids, that's also January, we have Nine Square set up, which is a cool game in the air. Everybody gets dizzy and spikes on Dom Kroski.
Yeah.
Because he's just standing there in his Crocs.
Hello Kitty badges.
Yeah. So, yeah, but playing games, just engaging with one another in relationship. There's adult leaders that are present there. So I believe in Buckley we have over 20 now adult volunteers.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, around 20 adult volunteers on a Wednesday night that are there for the students. They're not there to hang out with each other. They're not there because they need community service.
I've
right?
seen them.
Yeah, they're there engaging with the students. So at any time you'll see a Dom Kroski, Bryce Guernsey, Emily Wagner, or
Corey.
Yeah,
Corey Grimes. All of us.
Yeah, he's security, so your kids are safe.
Yeah,
or you got Uncle.
He's on the stand strength team and can bend metal bars with his teeth,
which he has done on stage, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you got Uncle Bill out there bullying all the kids, but yeah, so you'll see that. And then from that point we'll transition into a time of teaching, and so we bring the students in. We usually have a dope bumper video made by our David Hoflinger. So student ministry, still I think some of ours are cooler than even what you guys get on Sundays.
100%.
But
we have to turn ours down because there's always like some epic, like right now we're in the blood, sweat and tears, and it's like the bass. It's like, oh, you know what, some people are going to struggle with the hearing aids. You're gonna have to dial that
my
down.
Favorite is when kids get hype. Like we just did a series called The Gospel, and it's just Billy Graham preaching. Mm-hmm. With a cool overlay and all this stuff.
Young Billy?
Like, that is so sick. I think he's probably in his 50s.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, which is young. It's young.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
If you make it to 90.
I love student ministry.
Yeah,
we're going to look at your budget and make sure it gets padded a little bit there.
Yeah. We don't even, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so they'll come in. We teach from God's word. We also at TAB students have made a commitment that we're going to teach expository sermons. We're not a super topical ministry where you'll go to some that and we'll trick move the kids. Like we'll do a series called Family Matters and they just don't realize that we've been in the book of John for 4 weeks.
Hmm.
Or we'll do one called Bad Vibes. And we're actually just talking about the story of Elijah. And it seems topical in nature, but we're an expository ministry and we preach straight from God's word through God's word. And so we have a time usually for over here in Buckley, they're usually about 15, 20-minute sermon, but your boy's usually rolling at about 30 in Manistee just because I think I'm too important.
We teach them well.
So, yeah. But yeah, we'll do that, and then they'll break off into a time of small groups where they'll go with age-specific with those volunteers, those youth leaders. And so, like, we'll have a high school girls group, usually 11th, 12th grades together, 9th and 10th grades together, and then we'll have 7th and 8th grade doing small groups together. And during that time, we'll have questions geared towards the message that they just heard. Maybe there's something going on in the world that discussion needs to happen, or sometimes it's just, hey, what's going on? And but two things, a question that we ask often, I know at least in Manistee, and I believe we've started asking in Buckley as well, and this is a trick move for these two, and if any of the kids listen, they'll realize, like, oh, they do think about stuff, is at the beginning of every small group, we ask the question, what's one thing you appreciate more about God after hearing that message? And what we've found over time since asking that question is now we're teaching students that when they hear God's word open and they hear it taught, they can listen for, what am I learning about God right now? What are some characteristics about God that are being put on display through this text? And then at the end of small groups, we ask the question, what's one thing you can do this week to either love God or love people better? And so now I've listened for, what's a characteristic of God that I've learned more about? And now how am I going to go apply it to my world? And so those are two questions that we ask every week to this, every student that comes in the doors. And then after that, we usually break into more games, more fun, more joking around. Every now and then you might find a brownie sundae or a snow cone or something like that. And or small groups. I sometimes our high school girls small groups at Cry Fest, and they're going for four. They could go for 4 hours. I'm like, you guys have to leave. The lights have to get turned off. But so, yeah, that's kind of a Wednesday night. Summers are a little bit different. We really focus in on relationships during the summer. So ton of fun. Last night in Manistee, we played slip and slide kickball. No incident reports.
No one died.
No incident
reports. No broken bones.
And I think you guys played water balloon dodgeball.
Yeah, we had a lot of games with water balloons.
So over 1,000 water balloons were present in Buckley, Michigan last night. And so, yeah, just summer's a lot of stuff like
summer's different. So that's a new thing.
Yeah.
You touched on a lot there, but I was writing that down because that's something that I could ask adults on a weekend.
Yeah.
Why haven't I thought of that? Mm. We steal from each other. Can I steal that?
100%.
So what's one thing you can appreciate about God more from what you just heard?
Yeah.
And the second question, what's one way you can love God and love people better?
Yeah.
That isn't kid stuff.
Right.
That's adult stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Adam, does that look the same way in Buckley?
Yeah. Schedule's pretty similar. And Brendan and I made it a goal early on that we're going to focus on relationships over entertainment. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have fun.
Wait, say that again.
We're going to focus on relationships over entertainment.
Listen up, mom and dad.
There's no way that we can out-entertain any of the students, nor do we need to. I think it's more prevalent now, or at least I notice it more now, that students especially are just looking for truth. Mm. They're looking for something. Mm. And I think a lot of our students aren't coming because we're playing water balloon dodgeball and slip and slide kickball, but they're coming because they want to hear about Jesus. They want to hear the truth. Mm. And so that's one of our goals, is whether it's a Wednesday night during the school year or whether it's a summertime or a camp, whatever it is we're going to focus on relationships first, relationship with Jesus, and then relationships with each other. Because that's, I think, what they're craving. I think it's what they want. Mm. And it's what's important. You know?
See, that's counterintuitive, because a lot of student ministries, and again, when I say that is not to say, this isn't just a puff piece for how we're doing things. It's a puff piece for how you guys are doing things. And I'll be straight with our audience. If you have a student in your house and they're not involved in Foundry, we're going to get to this in a few minutes. My question is why? Mm. Why? But what I'm hearing is, you say, we're not going to out-entertain, like we're not going to compete with the world for entertainment.
No.
They have everything that they need in school and in sports and in their activities and in technology to keep their attention. And what you're seeing is students actually want something deeper.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. Or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I think it's why we're seeing students bring Bibles on Wednesdays. It's why we're seeing small groups that we eventually have to go, hey guys, like, you have to come out of small group.
You mean not the girls, even? Right. It's guys, like the guys too.
Yeah. Wow. And it's
and that wasn't a sexist thing. Something in my experience. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's one of those things where they are actually investing into the relationships with each other and the relationship with God. And so it is a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's neat to be part of.
So let me ask you, Sam, because you've been a part of it a long time, and you're in ninth grade?
Correct.
And how long you've been a part of student ministry, Tab Student Ministries? Did you start in seventh?
Yeah.
Seventh grade. So since they've been doing small groups, like, what do you like about small groups? Because that, I mean, there's a lot of people who say, oh, students, they're not going to talk anything. They're just going to be goofy and, you know, have, especially if it's a boys small group, it's going to be a belching and farting contest, you know? So like for you, like, what's been your experience like in the small group portion?
I think the big thing is just staying with the same people throughout years, just being able to connect with them more and more, and being able to build those relationships makes it a lot easier to share things that you're going through. And also just being able to have the leaders that are willing to listen and give advice. I think that's one of the biggest parts that I've noticed throughout the years. That's mainly just the why I go every week. And I've missed concerts to go to Foundry because that's part of my life that I absolutely need, because I can go and share those.
Wow.
So
like stories. How big is your group, for example? You don't have to tell me names to protect the innocent, but like how many dudes are in your small group?
Six or seven.
And you have one leader or two?
Two.
So you have two leaders. So that's a tight little group. That's like eight or nine guys. Mm-hmm. Like all together, and you have two adults. And so right after the talk, like, do the boys in your group actually break it down? Like, do they actually talk about what they just heard?
So there's always going to be the laughing and giggling, but there's a lot of in-depth conversations that happen, and we're always in there for way longer than we should be.
That's a commercial right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a commercial right there.
Yeah.
And sorry, Britton, go ahead.
Well, something he hit on too, that I think we're trying to do. There's definitely special cases, but the other thing as well is, if a student comes in when, like Sam did in seventh grade, and they're here till 12th grade, the goal, at the end of the day, I believe, and I might be talking just for Manistee, but I believe it's the same for you, is that they'll have the same youth leader all the way until they graduate.
Really?
And so they'll do small groups together. This might be news to Adam. I don't know if he does this or not, but
I do it a little different, but it's pretty close.
So, like with Boundary and Manistee, we have some ladies that are our middle school leaders, and their girls are going to be high schoolers next year. Well, they'll be high school leaders, but I also have a couple that they have seniors that are graduating. So they're going to start with the new middle schoolers, and it just provides that consistency across. And obviously there's the variables where it's like, hey, this leader probably should not be trusted anywhere near a middle schooler emotionally because they're just going to hurt their feelings. not because they're bad people. It's just there's different wavelengths that happen between 7th and 12th grade. And so there's special cases within all of that as well.
So all of your – I mean, this might be a, like a duh to most people. But one of the other ways that student ministry is better, every leader is vetted.
Yes.
We just don't have people, random people going, hey, I want to work with kids. Yep. And you're like, no, they're all vetted.
More than just a background check.
They're vetted.
Interviewed.
Yep.
Yep.
And then beyond that, they get training.
Every week.
They have their own little community that I've observed. And these people that are pouring into our students' lives. Yeah. I think I was talking with you, Adam, earlier this week on a completely different subject. Is one of the things that that I think is a good question for parents to ask themselves is who are the most important adult voices in your kid's life, your student's life, outside of you? So like we're big here in saying, hey, parents, those of you that are listening, I don't care if you've been a Christian for a minute or you've been a Christian your entire life, you are your child's first pastor. Mom and dad both, you're the first pastor. Everything else is supplementary. But for so many students, and this breaks my heart, the second and third and fourth most important adult voice in their child's life is a teacher or a coach. Mm-hmm. And let me back up a second. That's no offense to teachers or coaches. I've been a teacher and I've been a coach. But if that teacher doesn't follow Jesus, or if that coach doesn't follow Jesus, where is the youth pastor? Where's the student ministries pastor on that scale? And I was looking back at my own experience. My mom and dad were my first pastors. They were the most important adults speaking into my life. Outside of my family, aunts, uncles, grandparents, the most important adult in my life was my youth pastor. And I'm friends with him to this day. He's a mentor to this day. He lives in Traverse City. He's retired now, but he continues to be a mentor in my life. And what breaks my heart, and I'm not trying to get you to say, yeah, we should be the most important kid. I'm saying, Britton Bishop, if you go to the Manistee campus, or Adam Sharp, if you go to the Buckley campus, should be a very important voice in your kid's life. And I'm going to go out there on a limb and say it should be more important than any of their coaches and any of their teachers. Unfortunately, for some reason, culture, that's not always the case. So you have the microphone. We don't want to beat people over the head, but let's talk about the fact that, you know, someday, you know, God's going to want to know what your kid's 3-point shooting percentage average was, and did he, you know, play college ball as opposed to being student ministry. Let's do you have any thoughts on that you want to share?
Yeah, I have a lot of experience on that. I think a lot of my life was directed towards playing the sports. I was a guy that was super plugged in.
Yeah.
I played at the second highest level you can play football in America. And ultimately at this point in my life, I have nothing but some injuries and doctor bills is what I have left.
But you told me a great story.
Yeah.
I think that story needs to be
absolutely.
Told. Do you mind sharing that
absolutely,
story?
Yeah.
And this story, if it's the one I'm thinking of, the one about your friend who was the big, he was sunshine.
Yeah.
He was the great quarterback on your high school or on this high school team. And, this isn't meant to guilt trip. It's about perspective.
100%.
Because I still see parents. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
You tell the story.
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and I'm from the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, which is a big football state. One of the biggest in the country. If you had top 10 for sure, if you ask me.
It's Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. And so, but I just moved to this community, and we had like a team meeting beforehand. And just to give a perspective to the Northern Michigan folk, there's probably over 120 athletes at this meeting that are going to play high school football that year, 9th through 12th grade. And we're sitting down in this meeting, and we had a coach, name was Coach Craig. Love the dude. But I remember he was kind of setting the tone for us as we were beginning, and we were a team that was projected to be pretty successful that year. And we had a good quarterback. It was a guy named Alec, and Alec was a good quarterback. He was your perfect size, like 6'3", like 210, had a cannon.
Was he blonde?
No. He had, like,
he didn't look like Sunshine.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
But had an absolute cannon. But I remember we're sitting there and Coach Craig's telling us, hey, summer weights start this week. And if you don't show up, then I can't promise you that when the season starts, you'll be there to play. And I remember that was a scary thing for us because football was our God, unfortunately, at that time. And what Coach Craig said was what we did. And weights are starting this week and all this. And there's kind of this other thing that goes on that week in Oklahoma. And it's a bigger camp, but in our community, it was that week. And it's this camp called False Creek.
It was a church camp.
Yeah, it's a church camp in the mountains in Oklahoma, and there will be over 10,000 students there. It's a huge deal. The church takes over 100 kids.
10,000 students.
For 10 weeks. They see over 100,000 students in the summer.
Okay.
But it's this huge, awesome camp, and every year, Harbor Church, which was the church that if I would have said I went to church as a kid, that would have been the church I went to, went week one, first week of June, first full week of June. We're going to False Creek every year.
So it's a conflict with the weights week.
With summer pride starts week one every year. And up to this point, coaches have been flexible and stuff. We had a new standard, right? We're going to win state championships. We're going to be the football team we're supposed to be. And I remember this dude, Alec, was not going to go to weights because he was going to False Creek. And all of us went to weights. We didn't skip.
Didn't he give a speech or something? Did he say, hey, coach?
Yeah, he just, hey, I'm not going to be there. And
what was the coach's response? Because you made it real dramatic when you told him.
Yeah, he told me he's not going to play week one. Yeah. I mean, it's just this whole thing that if you're not going to be here for this, then you won't be here for this. And, okay, that's
fine. You got to make your decision.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I guess I do, coach.
Yeah, and you have yours to make, too. And he goes to False Creek. But I remember the biggest moment was we roll out for the season, still have an awesome season, even though our quarterback went to church camp, right? It's crazy.
Well, didn't you tell me that he was the only kid?
Yeah.
The only football kid that went to camp, yep. And all the other church kids
were afraid,
and you stayed and lifted weights.
Yeah. And so he goes to False Creek or whatever, and there might have been a couple that you just don't remember because there's 120 kids and they probably weren't that good.
Yeah. It sounded better the way you said it yesterday.
Yeah. But it was a preacher story.
He was the only one. Yeah.
But he goes, and season happens, all that stuff, and then the next year rolls around. It's spring. In Oklahoma, we do spring football. We have this meeting. He rolls out the schedule. Hey, this is the schedule. Summer Pride starts the second week of June. And we're like, what the heck? Summer Pride starts the... Coach, you mean first week of June? Nope, first week of June, you guys will be going to False Creek. So Summer Pride starts the second week of June. And to this day, they're starting this week because Harbor Church just got home from False Creek and Summer Pride started today in Ooliga, Oklahoma because one kid...
Well, didn't you tell me too, that guy, Alec, he did sit the first game.
Yeah. And then he broke his leg, and it was a horrible story. But now he planted an awesome church in Houston, Texas, and he's doing what the Lord called him to. And I think that week
did at False Creek... Did he ever win his position back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that week at False Creek was one that was much more formative because he's the lead pastor of a church in Houston, Texas now. But all of that just came down to the point of if there was one student that was willing to say, this is more important. And I couldn't tell you how many emails over my years of student ministry that I've gotten of, hey, I know Wednesday nights work the best for the church, but just with these activities that we have going on, is there any way we could do Thursdays? And I think something that Adam and I have talked about is too many people try to make Jesus fit their schedule instead of making their schedule fit Jesus.
Yeah.
There's too many people that will make dance or basketball or soccer or football or whatever extracurricular activity a priority over their students' discipleship. And that's not just saying that Foundry or student Tab Students is the only place your kid can get discipled. But let me tell you, it's probably one of the best that you can find if you go to the Tabernacle. Your kid is not going to find a place that's more geared to the gospel for the age 13 to 18 than Tab Students. It's not happening.
Yeah,
that's our whole vision is cast for them. And so to think that my kid can be discipled outside of this may be a true statement, but that's also like saying, I can shoot a goose with a 22. Yeah, but it's not the best gun you can use. You might as well get the 12-gauge out. Mm. So if we're trying to disciple our kids, you can continue trying. There's a way to do it, but why do things the hard way? Mm. When there's a ministry at our church that's geared towards...
It's funded, it's 100%. Devoted, It is staffed. It is well thought out.
And it's worth going to. And that's not just because I serve there. But I don't know if Adam has anything to add to that. I'll get on a soapbox.
Yeah, well, no. That's a good soapbox to be on. And so if you're still with us on this podcast, so he makes a statement, too many people try to make Jesus fit their schedule. And I know as a parent and as a coach and as a pastor, like I see this from all sides. I know one of the big frustrations for you because like during soccer season, you're like, got to get them games off Wednesday, coach, you know, and I'm trying my best. Yeah. So we're dealing with other schools. We're dealing with athletic directors.
Yeah, what's the athletic director's name I got to talk to?
Yeah, Mr. Todd Frazee, if you're listening,
Wednesdays are a terrible time for soccer.
Wednesdays are terrible days for any sport
on
that. But so too many people try to make Jesus fit their schedule. That's true for adults, but that's true as parents with adults because, you know, you're thinking, man, I got to get my kid in 4-H. We got to go to the fair. We have to have time for our vacation. And sports are important. Mm-hmm. We played sports. I see character developed in sports. That's how I coach our teams. I know for one, and I'm not trying to justify myself, but on Wednesdays, if we have a practice on Wednesdays, if a kid says to me, I got to leave early and it's for something dumb, I'm like, why? You know, I'll give him a hard time. If it's because I'm going to Foundry, I'm like, get out of here. Go. Or coming back from a game, you know, if it's local, if it's close, we'll have the bus stop right outside Foundry and drop off the three kids out of the 18 that want to go hot and sweaty with all their gear. You know, my daughter Gabby rolling off the bus. You know, but from your perspective, how do you see that? Is people trying to make Jesus fit their schedule instead of fitting their schedule to Jesus, especially as parents with students?
Yeah, well, I think I want to touch on like you said, we don't think sports are bad.
Not at all.
And we don't, I mean, because one of the cool things that I've seen is, like with your soccer team or whatever it is, there are relationships being built there that are bleeding into Foundry, that they're now coming in to stab students. I mean, I'm seeing players start to come because some of your players do come here and they invite them. And so that's a really cool thing,
too. Or because
you've
been honorary coaches sitting on our bench.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's an open invitation for student ministries pastors.
We've been honorary coaches, but we don't have any gear.
I know, weird. I got one T-shirt.
You got a T-shirt?
Yeah,
I have a T-shirt too, but I've seen the other stuff they have. Yeah,
Bishop, you told me that shirt didn't fit, so I promise on the next one,
the hoodie would fit.
Wait a minute, I got you a shirt that fit.
You did, but man, I think those
jackets.
I don't know. Was your shirt Adidas?
We interrupted you. Yeah, okay.
I think talking about the schedule fitting Jesus. I think a beautiful picture of a lot of people doing it the right way are the leaders that we have that are part of TAB students. I mean, you said earlier, you know, here in Buckley, we've got 15 to 20 leaders that show up every single Wednesday. And there are times where it'd be much more convenient for them to not be there. They have families, they have lives, they have all kinds of things going on, but they make it a priority to be there. And with what you were talking about earlier of who's the most influential people in your kids' lives, Britton and I are the pastors here, but I think it's also the small group leaders
that are
going, okay,
they're pastors too, in my view.
They are.
Yeah.
They're going, okay, I'm going to make my schedule fit Jesus, not make Jesus fit my schedule. And I'm going to be there every Wednesday and I'm going to invest into these students, whether it's Wednesdays or camp where we're asking them to take a week off
of
work.
PTO.
Yeah. We're asking them to take a week off of work, away from their families, of vacation time. And they do it. And I just think it's a really cool picture of, okay, so what does that mean to make my schedule fit Jesus? It's not that we're asking them to be here every day of the week. There are other things in life that happen, but it's a priority to them to be here.
And I think too, for the person listening, is there's a huge difference in what's happening here and maybe even some of the parents' perspective of what they would call youth group is, because for a lot of people, it was a place where, well, you know, they're eating the thing and playing the game, and it's not as important as what might be happening here. And so I want to make a commitment to the parent that if you will make Foundry Wednesday nights a priority for your student, we will make it a priority to teach them the gospel, for them to have an understanding of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole thing too, is you're not just bringing them to a eating contest and a bunch of dumb games where we're just screwing around. No, I promise you, if you bring your kid on a Wednesday night to TAB students, to Foundry Wednesdays, I promise we will preach the Bible. I make that guarantee to you. We will not have a Wednesday at Foundry where the Bible is not preached. It will not happen. We and Adam and I talk about it all the time. We won't spend money on things that aren't centered to the gospel being presented. There's a commitment within TAB students and Foundry Wednesdays that the priority is that the gospel will be presented week in and week out, because we believe it is central to what we're trying to do as a ministry and as a church and as believers trying to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And so I make that promise to the parents, to you, mm-hmm. To our board, to the people that give at this church. We don't spend a dime on anything that the gospel will not be a part of. And that's true, and Sam can vouch to it. Mm-hmm. We might have played slip and slide kickball last night in Manistee, but I promise you we preached the gospel before we got to it. And that's the way Foundry's going to roll.
So, Sam, mm-hmm. you're a busy guy. You've got a busy schedule. You go, and just a little perspective, if you're a stalker out there, stop. Okay, don't stalk Sam, okay? But you and your family live in Kingsley.
Correct.
You go to church in Buckley, mm-hmm. but you go to school in the suburbs of Traverse. You go to GTA.
Mm-hmm.
And you're involved there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's stuff going on. School activities, whether it's sports or whatever you're doing, and you know, you and your father have busy snowmobiling schedules in winter, and side by side, you know, driving around with your hair on fire, you know, and you're 14. How do you make it a priority, and why? Like, how does it fit with how busy you are? There are times where it's just like, oh man, I just don't want to go on a Wednesday, or just from a student's perspective.
So, like, for example, yesterday going to Foundry, it was 110 degrees outside, and I was at a golf course for 8 hours, and I really didn't want to go, but just being able to make that and just saying, I have to do this.
Wait. So you worked at the golf course all day first?
Yeah.
So you're already, you just want to veg. You jump in your pool, do whatever.
How many hot dogs did you eat while you were working?
Eight.
And then he probably ate more here.
Sam, I interrupted you. So you made it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Just take us through that. Why? Because you were like, hey, I didn't really feel like going, but.
It's like what I was saying earlier, like being able to go there and having leaders who like really, really, really care for you. Like Brad Krupa, I love that guy to death. And he's probably one of the biggest mentors in my life besides my dad, because he's always been there for any situation or problem that I've ever gone through. And just knowing that I've got people like that it's really relieving, and it helps you get through those times where you just like, I just want to be done.
So you're having a good time and you just dropped a mentor. So if you don't know Easy Atomize, see the emotions, right? So Brad Krupa, like he's been to seminary, right? Like he's a pastor, like he's on full-time staff and all that kind of stuff. Brad Krupa is a mechanic, a master mechanic.
And drives around dead guys.
He works part-time at a funeral home.
Yeah.
Brad Krupa also has muscles in places that I don't even have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a stud who loves Jesus and pours into young men's lives. And yeah. That, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah.
Well done, Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if, like, just for the parents, if your kid, like, just doesn't want to go to Foundry, make them go. You're still the parent. Like, you can.
That's just a kid saying. Boom. That.
Just saying. Just
keep preaching, son. Yeah. Wow. Keep preaching.
I love it.
That was That's Benjamin awesome. Vermillion.
Whip him if you have to.
Sorry?
I said whip him if you have to.
Okay, maybe that was too far. Yeah. But that is my son. He just dropped a truth bomb. Wow. Dang.
Love it.
Yeah.
If this was a mic, I'd drop. Or yeah. If that was a mic, you should just drop it. Just drop it right there. Yeah. Well, it is. And you know, hey, we can go there. There's a lot of parents, and that's so interesting that just came out of a student's mouth.
Yeah.
There's so many parents that they want to be their kid's friend instead of being their parent. There's a time where the friendship will build, and it's usually not till their brains are fully formed. But we find the student wagging the parent instead of, and I got to be careful. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think a lot of parents, if we had Meg Meeker here, the great author, pediatrician, psychologist, counselor from Traverse City, she spoke twice at our church in our recent history. And one of the things she always wanted to do is remind parents that they're still parents and that they have rights and they're still in charge. And there's so many parents that don't know, well, my kid doesn't want to do this or my kid doesn't want to do that. You know, not everyone has the blessing of having, you know, sons that want to be there and sons that want to serve and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't always that way, and it wasn't always that way with all of my kids. There was a time when it's like, well, I know you don't feel like going, but you're going. You're going. And like Sam said, after the long day of working at the golf course, you know, even he's admitting, you know, here's a rock star student men guy, right? And serves and all this kind of stuff. He's a teacher of Tab Kids. Oh, I didn't really feel like going. But after you go, you're always glad you went. Because I got wet. Bring towels. I ate hot dogs or whatever it was. And you played some, what is it called? Nine square. Whatever that game. I don't want to play that game because I don't, if I'm dizzy at my age.
Last for weeks.
I'm not going to be able to get out of bed. No, that's good. So, what are some things on the horizon for student ministry? So the overall picture here is there's a Wednesday program. You guys are doing what we've never done, or we haven't done in the last 18 years, is have consistent Wednesday nights in the summer. So, hey, if during the school year your kid is just slammed with all the activities, get him involved in summer.
Yep.
Because then they'll have more of an opportunity when they are able during the school year to get involved. Yep. So we have Wednesday Foundry.
Yep.
We have SWERVE, which is Students Who Serve. Yep. And that's an opportunity to go to the next level because students, the thinking behind that is anyone who serves, they get more connected. And so if you want your kid to stay connected to church or be a part of church, you got to get them attached to the mission.
Yep.
Right? So I know but we have youth camp that's coming up this summer, and are we going with another church? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we're going with two other churches. We'll be partnering with Westside Community Church and Bayview.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Now three rocking churches all together. And where's that camp at?
It's in Gaylord at the Lost Valley Retreat Center. So, it's going to be a sweet camp. They've got high, low ropes courses, go-karts, mud pits, swimming beach, you name it, it's going to be going on. And of course, we're going to play Frisbacher and all that stuff too.
Speaking of, if you're listening to this and you have a big van or a bus.
Yeah.
We need a bus.
You know.
We need a van.
We need to get some students there.
We need some transport.
Yeah. We need people to commit.
We need help with that.
How many we need for Buckley? 15?
Probably, yeah.
And we need 15 adult volunteers that can pass a background check and have car insurance.
Wow. Yeah.
That want to drive students to camp because we looked into it and buses are expensive.
Yeah,
and we were going
to
charter.
And schools don't want to rent to us.
Nope. Yeah.
Too much liability. So don't like contact and be like, ask the school.
We've asked every school too. We didn't just ask Buckley.
Every school.
We asked Buckley, Meesick, Kingsley, TCAPS, Manistee. Is there any other? I asked Onekama. I asked Frankfurt.
And you said it's in Gaylord?
Yep.
Even if it wasn't in Gaylord, because I'll have to look at the schedule.
Yep.
If I'm in town, I'm driving the Sequoia.
Yep.
We will load it up. I'll even drive it up and bring a trailer full of people's stuff so we have more seats or spots for butts in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And I will stop at Five Guys.
Well, we're actually
Benjamin, Five Guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes. On top of that, we are, for the parents that do drive up, we're going to cater a meal that night for those parents, and we're going to have a session for
Is it catered by Five Guys?
We haven't picked yet, and you're in charge, so yeah. So yeah, we are going to have a catered meal that night. We'll just talk about camp for a minute. So Camp 22 is something we did last year. We partnered with Westside Community Church, their student ministry there called Elevate. And it was incredible. We did it at their church because COVID was still kind of weird, but not super weird. And so we're like, you know what? We're going to make our own rules and we're going to do what we need to do to keep students safe. But at the same time, we're not backing down. And it was incredible. We had a speaker join us that was local, a guy named AJ Garcia, who is now the student ministries pastor or next gen guy at Westside. And my Andrew Clark, who is a friend of mine who also serves in student ministries in the area, the three of us and Adam got together and we're like, hey, let's do a camp. And it was awesome. We had a great time. We brought in a guy named Chris Marvin from Wisconsin. He plays guitar for Skillet, and he led worship. And so that was sweet. And so that was a great time. But so we're like, hey, let's do it again. But it's already growing. And so we had to find a campground. And we found a sweet one in Kalkaska. And it was going to be closer, and we weren't going to have to drive as far. And then I don't know what happened. And so we had to move the camp a week out, and we found a spot in Gaylord that's going to let us come. And so within that, students will come for the week, and we're bringing in a guy from Bridgetown Church from Portland, Oregon, a guy named Trey Giles is going to be our speaker.
I've met Trey.
Yeah.
He can also DJ.
Yeah.
Wait. He DJ'd your wedding.
He did DJ my wedding.
Yeah,
good friend, mentor of mine.
One time left side, two times left side, whatever. Okay,
Chris Marvin's coming back to lead worship. And
the Skillet guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dang, Skillet guitar player.
Yep.
Skillet ain't no joke.
Right.
So, is it screamo?
No, he's super good. He's very good. And he has another thing, if you want to look him up on YouTube, called The Spark. But he's incredible.
Nice.
And the kids all love him. So we're taking
go-karts,
7th
food,
to 12th graders.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
We're going to make a mess.
Yep.
And, we need vehicles.
Yeah. And yeah. We'll have, when the parents bring him up, we'll have a catered dinner. And we're actually going to have a session on how do I support my student when they get home from camp. Because I think there's something that anybody knows, that every kid that goes to camp, and these two know it, right? It's the best week of your life, and you've never loved Jesus more, and now when I go home, I'm going to change the world. And so what we want to do is, I don't completely not believe that statement. I think that students have all intentions to change the world when they get home. And so I think that the more support we can provide around them. So we're going to do kind of just like a breakout workshop style time with the parents on how do we support our students when they get home from camp. And
nice.
So for the parents that are driving kids up, or if you're a parent that's listening to this, you're like, well, I didn't know that's going to be there. Now I'll drive. All parents are welcome to come up to that session. We'll have
a meal for you. We should announce that on the weekend.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good time.
Who's in charge? Should we ask Vicky permission to announce on a weekend?
Yeah, Vicky. Yeah. Usually if you tell Martin, he'll just say it.
He'll make it happen.
Yeah.
He'll make it happen.
You just tell him before he goes.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Everyone's a little afraid of Victoria. So how many people we have signed up from Buckley?
Right now?
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
I have no idea. We're shooting for about 100 kids from both campuses.
Sweet.
Yeah. If you're listening and you haven't signed up yet.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't go to church here and they're a student, can they go?
Yes. 100%.
So a girl can be like, oh, I want to bring my friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Please do.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
Are scholarships available?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And if there's anybody listening to this that wants to send a kid to camp but doesn't have any kids to send, you're more than welcome to donate a scholarship.
Please do.
You can just give that and just note.
And the Tabernacle does that.
Yeah.
They do that. 100%. So we're just reminding people again that that's an awesome thing that you can do.
Yeah. It is incredible because we tell the students all the time, don't ever let money be the reason that you don't go.
Yeah.
And we can say that with confidence because of the congregation has shown us year after year that money will never be a reason kids can't go.
Right. People hear about it at the annual meeting. I think Foundry is the most well-supported ministry within this church. It's incredible, the support that we receive financially from members of this church. So, we're
when is the date that, the deadline for them to, sign?
July 10th.
So, July 10th.
Would be the deadline.
Quote, unquote.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean don't sign up. Yeah. But if you show up the day of and you can sign paperwork,
you're going.
We'll get your butt to camp.
Nice.
But still sign up because it helps us plan for meals and everything
Camp is huge.
Yep. And it's July 25th to the 28th is when camp is.
So when we talk about mountaintop experiences in your life, and I think we've mentioned this before on the podcast, even though they're mountaintops, people like to poo-poo. Do people still say poo-poo? People like to crap on mountaintop experiences. Sorry, we're the Tabernacle, right? So we say it that way. Mountaintop experiences are important. Yeah, you have to come down off the mountain and go back into the valley. You go back into your house, go back to school, whatever. But you don't come back unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to say is we can navigate by mountaintops. And a couple of the most significant mountaintop experiences in my life happened at a camp. Like I'm thinking right now, just... I remember making a decision to commit all of my life to Jesus, no matter what, at a camp. I was already a Christian, but the call was, do you want to be a 100%er? That's very 80s talk.
Yeah.
But it was 100%. Your school life, your personal life, your hobby life, your soccer life, your future life. Will you be a 100%er? And if you won't, don't make this decision. And I can remember making that decision.
Hmm.
And I still screwed up after that. But I made the decision. I'll never forget it. I also remember a guy like Brad Krupa, who was my dorm counselor. He taught me how to memorize scripture. He gave me a real... he was a college student. Wasn't even married yet. You know, he didn't have a degree yet. And we were talking about memorizing a Bible verse. And he showed all the dudes that were... You know, we were barely paying attention to this day. And I forgot the guy's name. He taught me how to memorize scripture. You start at the end, like the very last word of the sentence, and then the last two words. And because what's the part of the scripture you can never remember? How it ends. So instead of starting at the beginning, you start at the end. And then you repeat the last three words, and then the last four words, and then eventually you get to the first word, which is the 30th word. And the end is easy because you've just been repeating it. And I'm 52 years old. That happened when I was 14, and I've never forgotten it.
Mm.
So That's my plug. Yeah. Is those are going to, and there'll be better lessons yep. that students will remember from going to camp. So, mentioned Foundry, we got camp, we got Swerve. What are some things that you're dreaming about? These aren't promises,
yeah.
but what are some things, like Adam, what are you dreaming about for student ministries in general or Buckley specific that you would like to see happen? And maybe not just with student ministries, maybe with just next gen. Like your dreams, your ministry dreams.
Man.
Student building with a basketball court.
Yeah. A youth center.
Yeah. Youth center?
No.
Hey, have I ever sat over here and said no?
No.
I've always said dream it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're, because youth center, we're talking some bling. I mean, we're talking some money, mm-hmm. or as my brother would say, some men. We're going to need yep. some of those minimum funds. Yeah. So if you're listening out there, so that's a dream, is your own youth center.
It is a dream. But I also realize we're very blessed with what we have yeah. too.
Yeah. You mean this 100-year-old building?
Yes. Yes.
Where the floor might give way in the middle of a
mushroom. Because some student ministries don't have that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we are super blessed with what we have. But if we're dreaming, yeah.
Yeah, we're dreaming. Yeah. Come on.
I'm thinking Tab Kids, everything. A next gen, like we need a student building would be sweet.
Okay.
Some basketball
courts.
If people
are like, how would we get there safely from T2?
Skybridge.
Yeah.
Build a skybridge. Tunnel, whatever we have to do.
It's tunnel. Yeah. Oh, a tunnel.
It'd be sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Britain.
Yeah, just some dreams that Adam and I have talked about a ton is to see a missions wing added to mm-hmm. our TAB students ministry. And through that.
You mean like students going on mission trips?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of a holistic view of that would be. So we have a student from 7th till 12th grade as their student pastors. And so the goal would be in 7th and 8th grade, they experience a local mission trip, whether that be serving with some of our ministry partners at Freedom Builders or Tiny Developers or whatever that might be, finding a place to serve locally with those students and having some of our high schoolers come be leaders on those trips. And then with our 9th and 10th graders, taking them on more of a domestic travel trip. So going to Detroit to partner with Mosaic Midtown Church, or maybe it's going to Denver, Colorado to partner with some ministries there or something like that. But taking our 9th and 10th graders somewhere to experience a culture outside of northern Michigan but still stateside. And then with our 11th and 12th graders, the goal would be to take them on an international trip before they graduate from Foundry Student Ministry. So that within that, a student now, because we know that some people are called to the nations, but I don't think every single one of them will be. But I think that every kid could serve locally. But some of them just need to see that, this is what it can look like. All of them can serve in a demographic that maybe looks differently than them, but some of them just need to see what it looks like. So creating a space where from 7th to 12th grade, we can give a more holistic view of what missions can be in the kingdom. And then alongside that kind of missions wing would connect with Swerve.
Nice.
And so a big part of missions for people, I think, that gets missed is serving in your local church. It might not be a quote-unquote mission trip, but it's living missionally in the community that you have. And so, yeah, that would be a big dream of ours. And some of it is already coming to fold, so kind of like a spring break mission trip. But ultimately, big dream would be loading some kids on an airplane and taking them international and showing them what that looks like.
I'm down.
Yeah. So,
Sam,
mm-hmm.
dream for TAB Student Ministries. Do you have a dream for it?
Bigger building.
Bigger buildings.
More room.
He's on the youth center.
Yeah. And I want a student room in Manistee as well. We got plenty of room.
You got plenty of room.
Yeah, we just need an elevator.
We need an
elevator. to be able to use it.
Yeah, to legally be able to use our upstairs.
Is there an elevator there?
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So we need an operational elevator so that we can do the student room.
So we can be up to code.
Yeah. I'm not going to get ridiculous like Adam and ask you for a building. I got the building.
Yeah, we got a big
building. I just need an elevator and some bathrooms.
Yeah,
and we'll do the rest. If you build it, they will come.
Benjamin, I think I know what your dream is for TAB Student Ministries.
No, I don't know.
You want a gun range?
No.
Five guys every Wednesday.
Five guys in a gun range?
What do you want, Benj?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of things I could ask for, but like...
Podcast recording studio, a real one.
Oh, a TAB Student podcast.
Hey, if we built a new building, we could add it.
I mean, we need to do Common Ground more often. We need more... Mm-hmm. Like
some shade, I feel thrown this
drink. No. Speak
some.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's not really a dream. It can happen. We just need to do it.
More common grounds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. So can you explain?
I feel like the live music or whatever. It's like some kid just want to come and I don't know, break down.
Yeah, for sure.
So can you explain what Common Ground is? Because I've never heard my son say that. And yeah. that's a plug.
Yeah.
So tell him what Common Ground is, because that's kind of Foundry, but it's another.
So Common Ground
it's under the umbrella of TAB Students.
Yeah. So Common Ground is another dream that we had, just of seeing, well, most people know that are listening to this podcast, we're one church in multiple locations. And so that's a space for us to bring not just our campuses together, but also invite other student ministries around the area that maybe don't have the community that we have all the time. And so it's to provide a space, Common Ground, right, where we can all come together and worship Jesus via a freaking killer band. And sometimes that's multiple bands from multiple places. If you went to Fields of Faith this year, that was a Common Ground event where we had the West Side worship and Tabernacle worship teams combined for that event, and they rocked it out. We've done some here where Vicky and her team.
And they had a great preacher there.
Yeah, he was all right. He wore a hat.
He was fine.
Yeah, he wore a hat, though.
He preaches in a hat.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And then we...
But we've held him at T2 here in Buckley before.
Yeah, we had him in T2. And then, it's just an opportunity for us to get together, turn the music up a little bit louder than we usually do, even on a Sunday. And I know for some of you that seems ridiculous.
Just see what the system can do in T2.
Well, I think Ben Brown's had us rolling like 100 plus decibels, issue. Yeah, we roll some haze on a Common Ground.
See, I don't think he was throwing shade. No. That's actually a compliment.
No, for
because
sure.
Those things you wonder, like, do students enjoy those?
Yeah.
And I remember one dropping off my kids. You had some band coming in from the outside, and it was bumping.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went back to my house and sat with Grandma Vermilia.
That was when Benji tried to get me fired. I told the band they could take all the stage stuff off the stage.
All the what?
All the boxes. The boxes off the stage.
The boxes?
All of Victoria's ice cubes were gone. That's okay. She hated those ice cubes. Yeah.
That's cool. It's a cool thing. Some of the issues we run into that was figuring out transportation stuff, because our campuses are a little bit separate. So we've been blessed by some people that have.
So we don't need a school bus. We need one of those big tour buses.
Yeah, I found a prison bus that had solitary confinement cells in it. And that just feels like student ministry to me. It still had the handcuff
hooks.
Especially
for the tabernacle.
Yeah. Oh, snap. How much is it?
A lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's okay. I think Bill Stone still listens to this podcast.
It was operational.
And he's still trying to get into heaven, too.
Yeah.
So, hey, Bill Stone, we need that prison bus.
Yeah. Transportation more often than not is the issue we run into. But, Common Ground is a big dream of ours that we want to see continue to come to surface. Mm-hmm. And, ultimately, I think what Foundry boils down to is we're just trying to provide different spaces and places where we can present the gospel in a way that's relevant to them. It's a way that feels exciting. And it's a way that, feels like something I want to invite my friends to, because, that's the goal, is that as many people, something that we joke about often, one of our campus pastors, that's very goal oriented. I won't name his name. Martin. So what's you guys' goal? And I said, honestly, I think we're just going to try to get as many kids there as possible and let God do the rest. And as much of a joke as that was at the time, that's more often than not what we're trying to do.
100%.
Yeah. We're just going to create a space where as many kids that want to come can, and we're going to let God do the work. And so we do that through camps, Common Grounds, Foundry Wednesdays.
Swerve.
Yeah. So
missions in the future.
Yep.
Sweet. Yep. So TAB family, because even though I'm not sitting in the host chair, let's be honest. I want to say I'm super grateful to God for both of you gentlemen, for the opportunity to talk about TAB students. It's a great ministry. Outside of coming together on a weekend, our most important ministry, period. Because young men and women are making big-time decisions and are learning to follow Jesus. They're learning his word. And I'll just throw this out there, too. When I look at the adults that are populating your crews, some of them met Jesus in what we used to call the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're there with their spouse.
Yep.
Or they came to Christ in Foundry, and they see the importance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they're not just involved in church on a weekend, they're involved in young people's lives during the week. And I don't think this is any dishonor to you when I say this, because I know both of your hearts. They're the real heroes.
100%. Absolutely.
I wish we could have the Doms, the Brads, Andy, the Emily, Joel. There's so many of them. The ones that don't teach, ones that are part of that food crew, you know.
Praise God.
Mike Anderson.
Amanda Johns.
Mike Anderson. who has been doing student ministry longer than all three of us put together.
Mm-hmm. And he's the board game master.
And he's the board.
That's one of the best parts about camp is it gets stupid hot every time and kids don't want to be outside anymore. And you find Mike Anderson and he's got them playing some ridiculous board game.
Like magic.
And they're so into it.
Oh, like, 100%.
He's magic.
He is magic.
He is magic. Yeah. These kids are all in, and it's just—it's so
with his
cool
weird
to see.
Beard, and he looks like a Middle Eastern terrorist.
Gandalf.
yeah. Which is true. I've told him this before. It's like, really, bro? Come on, man. I mean, seriously.
He slays.
Yeah,
still kind of scared of him.
They're the heroes. Yeah. They're the heroes. Yeah. And just appreciate them and
their families who put up with them being gone.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
So cool.
Let's get last
words on TAB students from anybody in the room. Doesn't matter. You got anything to plug for parents or students that are listening about why TAB students, why it's the greatest, inside jokes we need to know about? Go.
We don't say those out loud. we said them to each other just now. But
yeah,
I think ultimately what it boils down to is if you hate having fun and you don't want to love Jesus, don't come to Foundry.
Oh, there. Simple.
He said it.
Yeah.
TAB students is not for you if you hate fun and don't want to love Jesus.
Nice.
But if you find one of those two things being a priority in your life, we're probably the place for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else got something? So, Sam, I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you or do you not like sausage?
If it's cooked right.
Dude, you eat raw hot dogs. Don't lie to us.
I have eaten raw hot dogs.
I think I know the answer to this question. Have you had sausages from Dublin Store?
Yes, they were fantastic.
Were you there the night the Dublin Store sausages showed up in the green room of T2 here in Buckley before a Saturday night service?
Yes, I cooked them.
You cooked them. Yes. See, I knew it.
Can we have a moment of silence?
Praise God.
Yeah.
The jalapeno or the kind with the
potato bacon.
The potato bacon or what was the third kind? Because there was another one.
That was
cheese.
There was one with cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Cheddar. Yeah.
Cheddar.
Which of those three is your hot favorite?
Jalapeno.
All day.
I thought he was just going to say yes. I thought he was just going to say
my reaction just
I'm with
yes.
you on the jalapeno. A fist bump just happened.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
Yeah.
Love them.
Britain, out of those three, and we're talking Dublin General Store, mm-hmm. right? Don't get some like thing. You don't know what they put it.
You don't
some
even other know Johnson or where he lives.
You don't know Johnsonville. Yeah, Johnsonville brats. What is there, a hoof in this sausage? I don't need a tail or a hoof.
Exactly.
No, we're talking Dublin. Yeah,
classic local.
Out of those three, or one that you've had that you didn't share with us, which would you say?
I got to go jalapeno cheddar all day long, but I've heard the Italian is... something to write
See, I like
about.
The jalapeno cheddar. Yeah. Did you have some that night?
Not
you
like the jalapeno? Night, but I've had them in jalapeno cheddar. Yeah. Is where it's at.
Benjamin, which was your favorite?
I don't know. They were all good. Just yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so, just yes. But, I still want to try the blueberry.
But
because
I love blueberry. All those people who are listening that were making their mouth water. If you, I'm gonna say it. If you serve, you can get
them.
We serve at the green room.
Should have served.
If you served on a weekend, you would have got some.
Yeah, well, if you'd have got some. He's Saturday, dropping the guilt bombs.
Saturday nights are the most fun, you know.
Absolutely.
So, even if you're just working Saturday or just one day.
Saturday nights are a hopping night around here. I'm excited to see what a Manistee Saturday night looks like someday.
Oh, because you guys have more restaurant options.
It's going to be jumping.
Yeah. So, Dublin Store, we love you and we love
Absolutely.
Your... We love you, but you're...
Shout out to the Fisher family, just in general.
The Fishers in general?
They just kind of... I think they own Wellston, just in all of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, shout out Fishers.
Yeah, but not just because they own all of Wellston. They're incredibly generous with their time, with who they are. They're great people.
Yep, 100%.
So we're grateful for them. Trace Cakes?
Trace Cakes.
Trace, is she on hiatus?
No, she's wrapping up the school year. We're going to give some grace. Wrapping up the school year.
School ended 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well then, take that away.
Oh, sorry.
No,
I think
we're under a remodel at Trace Cakes, but
Big Tom was talking about the remodel.
Because
I was asking him about golf, and he was like, look, man, I got a remodel.
Yeah.
No, I was asking him, had he seen the new Top Gun movie? Because his wife is a ridiculous fan.
Mm.
And I felt guilty because I actually saw Maverick Top Gun or Top Gun Maverick, whatever. And I don't even like Tom Cruise. Best sequel I've ever seen.
Mm.
But I saw it without the Kalitas and I was sad. I was sad. Yeah. But it was something about the remodel is big. But when the remodel's done, Trace Cakes, we're just saying no
free shout outs.
No free shout outs.
And if you have a graduation party that you need some baked goods for, I'm pretty sure she's rolling out cookies and stuff like that. So we'll make one up. I'll graduate right now.
And I'm told that, well, we're still working on the no free shout outs for Skylar Bibles.
Yeah.
But there's one coming out in 2023.
Yeah, I'm about to sound like the biggest nerd ever.
Okay, go for
it. It's my preferred CSB.
The CBD Bible.
Which you said at my wedding.
Yes, this is true. Well, I used the CBD or the CSB Bible for your wedding out of respect, which is also the official translation of Tab Student Ministry.
And the marriage was still legal. It was still legal. We used it.
So sorry, you want a Skylar Bible. This is your dream.
I have a Skylar.
Yep.
But I want the CSB personal size quintal. So it would technically be the CSB PSQ 2023. And I want the green with the red. Art gilding, which is the page, you know, like
is it like lime green?
No, like dark hunter green.
Oh, hunter green.
Dark green.
Okay.
And my wife Hope wants the black pearl, which is black and blue. And I think my boy Adam, do you want? A little marble mahogany.
Mahogany.
Yeah.
Mahogany.
This house smells of
smells of rich mahogany.
Confession: as pastors, we spend money on Bibles.
Yep.
But like, who's going to guilt trip you and say you spend too much money on
the Bible? The question is, if we got JV one, would he use it to preach?
CSB?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's got to be a certain font size for me, man.
It is.
These old eyes.
We'll pray about it.
Yeah.
You guys. Last but not least, two more things. We want to remind you that... the complaint department is open at the Tabernacle. 100%. If you have complaints, we want to hear your complaints. You need to take your complaints to Bill Stone. He is the volunteer. Yep. He volunteers his time diligently, faithfully on behalf of our church.
Yeah.
All complaints, he said that he will field them first, and he will direct them to the proper place so we can get your complaint squared away.
If you're really angry we didn't have a podcast last week, just go talk to Bill.
Yeah.
Yes,
the thing is,
exactly.
He actually will.
Yeah.
Because he'll probably have just as many as the people come.
This is possibly true. This is possibly true. So you will not be judged. You'll find someone to commiserate with.
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
100%. But the Bill Stone Complaint Department is open.
Open.
Yep. He attends the Buckley campus most weekends, and you can find him through other sources if you want. And if you have questions, if you have comments, if you want us to answer a question on the air or on the recording or whatever you call, what do you call that? On the cast.
Yeah.
On the VOD. Is it a VOD?
No, not a VOD. VOD is.
VOD's over.
It's so 1999.
Okay. So we're
just
a podcast
with video.
Yeah. We're a podcast. You can email us. Please email us.
Yes.
We want your feedback. We're asking you for feedback. Yes. We want feedback. If it's hurtful, Britton won't read it to me because I'm a real sensitive guy. Just,
if you want to say something mean about John, send it to me. If you want to say something mean about me, send it to John.
Exactly. So then we can use it against each other. Right? But it's tabpodcast@thetabchurch.com.
Yep.
Once again, tabpodcast@thetabchurch.com. If you got a question about anything, could be theology, could be Tab Student Ministries, it could be an old podcast, it could be, why don't you have such and such on the air? But we want your feedback. If you don't want us to share your name, we won't share your name. If it's profane, we probably won't share it. If you don't care, well, then we will share your name or at least your first name. But that's tabpodcast@thetabchurch.com.
Yeah. And if there's anybody that is a producer of plain black shirts, obviously we need more.
Yeah, because obviously
you guys didn't get the memo.
Benji's over there in black. We got the black. We blend in, so we're floating heads.
To be fair, I didn't know I was in here until 10 minutes before we came in.
What are you talking about? We planned this weeks ago.
Sam's over here looking professional, and we're all, that's bad. Well, at least I got a collar. It's collars on this side. Yeah, whatever. So,
love it. Sweet. Well,
hey, welcome back to the host chair.
Can I do it?
You're married.
Okay.
You're varsity.
The best part is
I
won't be here next week.
Oh,
or the next week.
Don't tell them that. They won't listen.
Yeah, they will. Okay. It's usually better without me.
There's a rumor that Seth Bush and Ben Brown are going to debate it, whether multicam or Kuyu. No, Sitka versus Kuyu camo.
Yeah. Did you guys ever cover Ben's transition to tennis shoes?
No.
Nope.
Okay. That needs to happen as well. That's a groundbreaking
thing. Your father, Pastor Ben Brown, is transitioning. Not in the way that you would think. He's transitioning from Keen 15-pound boots, and I'm talking about per foot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're steel-toed. I've looked at there's a lot of leather and rubber.
They're massive boots.
Yeah. And the first time he showed up in tennis shoes, I think they were Nike.
Yeah, gray Nikes.
Gray Nikes, almost white. People thought he was having a nervous breakdown.
is this the end?
He's been on stage with
we
those
were
things.
At the store, preaching and we were like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm we'll cover that.
Shoes.
What? Wait, no. This is good. Keep going. And he gave it. Yeah. So you're at the store.
Yeah, he was just at the store, and he goes over the tennis shoes because he started running, and he was just like, "Yeah, I'm just looking for a pair of tennis shoes." And I was like, I about passed out. Like, you're buying tennis shoes.
One Sam more, Brown about passed out.
One more time, tennis shoes. Yeah, I'm looking for tennis shoes. Nope.
This
wear,
is a kid
you
who
wear
can
work boots.
He can work all day at the golf course, rally, go to Foundry, eat 8 hot dogs.
He had 16 hot dogs total that day.
16 hot dogs total in one day, not pass out. But seeing his father, the legend Ben Brown, buying gray, almost white Nike tennis shoes, you almost passed out. Wow.
Love it.
And do you know what his response is? They're so comfortable. He's amazing.
He absolutely loves them.
He absolutely loves them.
You guys should bring your sweatpants sometime. It'll change your life.
You better wrap this up before we get
stoned. Love it. Well, Tab family, until next time, this is Sam, John, Benji, Adam, and Britton signing off.